G'day, this is Expand the Phantom Podcast. Our website is chroniclechamber.com and you can subscribe to our podcast via YouTube or through your favourite podcast apps. Don't forget to give us a rating on your app and tell a mate about us. This is episode 270 and we are going to catch up with Mike Bullock, the author associated with American publisher Moonstone Comics, and discuss the Phantom coming back to the USA. I think there is a song there. I am Jermaine and welcome Dan. How are you, mate?
Yeah, very good, Germ. I love these morning podcasts because it means we're talking to international guests. And yeah, so very excited to riff in and have a good chat with Mike today. Excited about Moonstone coming back and yeah, looking forward to the conversation.
No worries. And I've noticed you've shaved off the beard for this podcast.
Yesterday I shaved the beard back into a mustache for an 80s themed party, and yeah, didn't want to Tom Selleck it up too much on the podcast this morning, so I'm starting afresh, and we'll, yeah, the beard will be back for Christmas, I think, or the new year.
Awesome. So, Mike, g'day, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing well. And speaking of Tom Selleck, somebody gave me a box of Magnum PI DVDs yesterday, so that's good timing.
Very cool.
Now, for those who have come in late, we last spoke to Mike back in 2020 in March, episode 147. Now, and then we also, myself and Dan, recorded a reaction podcast to this news that we're going to be discussing in episode 264. So if you are late on the Phantom Moonstone train, dig out those back issues, and because that will greatly it will be a good read to kind of fill you in. So now we're very excited. We've been all sitting on this news for a little while and we've all been very excited to talk about it. So yeah, we had to get you on, Mike, to talk about Moonstone and about your reconnection with the Phantom. So I guess we'll start off. How do you feel about this exciting news?
Oh, I'm very, very excited. It's felt like it took too long to get back, but you know, I always thought that I was going to get back someday, and here today's the day. So,
And from memory, I guess between drinks, which is what 13, 15 years, you did a story for Lightning Strikes Comics as well. So, yeah,
yes.
We saw you briefly, and then we thought, oh, you might be back, but then yeah, we've had to wait another couple of, you know, half a decade.
Has it been that long since the Lightning Strikes? I guess, yeah, I guess it has been. Yeah, I've still never seen a copy of it, so hopefully
really?
It looks good. Yeah.
They're rare as hen teeth, those things. So, yeah.
So what we thought is we'll quickly go over what we know, and Mike, as we list it in bullet point, you might be able to correct us or add a little bit of information, and then we're just going to, I guess, go over some questions to hopefully tease everyone a little bit more, including us, until basically we get the comics into our hands. So I guess we'll kind of go over from where what we do know. So I guess it's going to be a comic with, so each comic is not just going to have the Phantom, it's going to have other characters in it. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's my understanding is it's going to be similar to the way the KGB Noir story came out, where you have a comic book with two different stories inside, and one will feature, you know, insert character A, and the other one will be the Phantom story. So
awesome. Yep. And you made mention of Noir. So for those who have come in late and you're wanting to know what that is, I guess people wouldn't, it would be good for people to dig out their copy of the KGB Noir comic.
Yeah, that was, and man, that was a lot of fun to write that one. I would like to get back to that at some point.
So. That you've also, it was about maybe 3-4 years ago, you re-released the trade paperback of collection of that. Do you still have that on sale on the Moonstone website?
I don't know. I would assume Moonstone does.
Yeah.
I know part of the deal with King Features currently is the ability to move some of the older books, an ability to give people who came in late a chance to kind of dig into the old stuff without having to go churning through eBay and all places like that. So the Moonstone website does have a fair bit of back stock Phantom stories available right now?
Yeah, certainly having a quick scroll through the Moonstone website now, there's certainly plenty of Phantom issues available. There's a couple that say that they're out of stock, but most of them are still there for, you know, $3, $4, $8 American. So, yeah, still pretty reasonable.
And yeah. that hardcover book that we were talking about is $16 US as well. So, yeah, and
yeah,
you're right.
That's cheap for a US hardcover trade paperback. So,
for sure.
So yeah. I just searched for Phantom and there's 177 results. So, yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. That'll keep somebody busy for a while.
Yeah. Dan, you got your Christmas sorted, mate.
I'll finish off my collection.
Yes. I hope you have 146 people to buy for.
Oh, no, it's all for me.
Oh, okay. Buy two copies, then you can give to the other 146 people.
That's it. So you said that you were keen to write in that noir style again. Is the new series coming out, is that in that style or is it a different take?
It's a different take. That the KGB Noir, the story is very similar to like a 60s James Bondy spy-ish kind of a story. The new story that we're doing right now actually takes place in modern day. And it takes place, you know, it spans the globe, but it starts out in downtown major U.S. city. So during a semi-current event that was going on when I first started writing a story. So.
Interesting. Interesting. So some of the other things that we do know is that we're going to, with these serialized chapters, we're going to have a Phantom standalone story, a Mandrake Phantom story, and then a crossover story, and the three stories are related. And you have given us the titles. Did you want to let us know what the titles of the three stories are?
Sure. The first one is The Phantom, The Last Night. The second is Mandrake, Seven Kings Calling. And the crossover between the two is The Seven Kings.
Yeah, cool. And that's, and those will be released over various issues.
Yes. Yes. That should be 15 installments total. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's really good that there's such a long run planned.
Yeah.
So would that be 15 separate comics?
Yes.
So we know
so
that.
There's a 50-page Phantom story, a 50-page Mandrake story, and then the crossover is another 50 pages.
Yeah.
And
wow.
We just talked about trade paperbacks there a minute ago. Well, they'll be all collected into a trade paperback, I'd hope, at the end?
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah.
So we will get... so it will be at least 150 pages in the trade paperback and maybe even some, you know, excess Christmas filler.
Yeah.
In the end. Yeah, nice.
Pictures of Dan holding his 146 books and things.
I'll send it through as soon as the box arrives.
There you go.
And of course, you'll be writing the three stories.
Yes.
And the artist, now I am going to butcher his name, so apologies ahead of time. He is from Argentina originally, and it's Sergio...
Ibanez is how you pronounce it in American English. I don't know if that's how he pronounces it, but yeah, Ibanez is actually a very famous name in the United States because it's a guitar brand. So...
I guess.
And we can tell for those who are on YouTube, you do like your guitars and your rock music.
Yes.
Sergio, will he be drawing all the three stories?
At the moment, he is drawing the first one, and we're in discussions as to who's going to be drawing the other two. I think the Mandrake story is pretty well locked in, but I don't know that the ink is dried on the contract for that one. So, and then we've identified a couple of different people that we would like to see draw the third one. But again, I don't think that that's a set in stone thing just yet. So.
And when you say that you're writing them, like, have you already written them or are they, is it complete in draft form or like what phase are you at with your writing?
So the Phantom story, the second issue just got approved by Kang Features yesterday. And I'll start scripting the third one probably early next week. the Mandrake one, the first script just got approved about a week ago by King Features. And I'll start on the second one of that after the third Phantom story. And then I have the plot roughed out pretty well for the crossover, but I'm obviously not going to start scripting that until I've finished the other two.
Especially because they kind of connect as well.
Yeah. And there's, you know, Easter eggs and things that kind of cross between the two individual stories as well that lead up to it. So,
yeah, that makes sense. With the note we've got here is that they're going to be released bi-monthly. So every couple of months, the stories come out. So that's with 15 issues, that's a good couple of nearly 3 years or two and a bit years of publishing we can look forward to in the first instance, just on the back of these stories.
Well, hopefully the Phantom and Mandrake will start to kind of overlap a little bit. I don't know that that's the publishing schedule Joe has in mind, but, you know, there's no reason for Mandrake number two, say, to wait for Phantom number three to come out or anything like that.
Yeah, okay.
Since the two stories basically take place at the exact same time, but in different places.
Oh, okay.
From what I understand, if you get ahead in your schedule and if you get a, you know, like get ahead with the drawing and everything like that, the comics might be released a little bit more than every second month is.
Well, I think that as far as the story goes, like the, you know, the five issues of the Phantom will come out bi-monthly.
Yep.
So Mandrake doesn't have to wait until the Phantom story is done to start coming out though. So,
yep.
Yeah, and I don't know how Joe has that planned. He may launch both of them the same month. He may, you know, counter or, you know, stagger them so that, you know, Phantom comes out 1 month, Mandrake the next, Phantom 2 the next, Mandrake 2 after that, that sort of thing. I'm not sure how he's got that planned, but the two stories don't, you know, since they take place at the same point in time, they aren't dependent on the other one. So,
yeah.
Now, one other thing which I didn't have on there is that, so your license covers US, Canada. And then if you're, say, for instance, if you're from Australia or India or Europe, you can get it through your local comic book shop through Diamond. And then if that doesn't work, you've got your website, which obviously already has the Moonstone back issues, but then you'd be able to buy the new ones from there as well.
Yeah. And we obviously much prefer that these are purchased through local comic stores. You know, local comic store owners, at least in the US, are having some struggles with the economy being the way it is and so forth. So the more we can drive folks to them to make purchases, the better. But, you know, when all else fails and there's nowhere else to get one, or your local comic store is unable to get a copy or whatever, the Moonstone website should be, you know, a good place to go. So
I really love that plug, Mike, because, you know, that's something we believe in as well, is getting people to their local stores as much as possible. So
yeah.
Being in Australia, like my local comic book store is pretty good at getting some of the international stuff in. You know, a lot of the mainstream stuff, and they do get the Moonstones in as well. So certainly anywhere that you can do that, you know, so much the better.
So have you talked to yours yet, Dan?
Yeah. It hasn't turned up in the... what's the name of the book that has all of the pre-listings in it? The Moonstone. Yes. So yeah. The Moonstone stuff hadn't turned up in that last time I was in, but he's certainly aware of it and is going to look out for me. So, yeah.
Awesome. So, yeah. So make sure you talk to your comic book shops. Now, one of the things that every collector, well, all the completists, and I know a few, there's Will, Luke, Nick, a couple in mine, probably myself, John, Paul. Variant covers. We love them, hate them, sometimes in the same sentence, but we all kind of buy multiple, so you will be doing variant covers?
Most likely, yes.
Yeah,
you know, and like you said, I think that's a universal thing. We all love them and we all hate them at the same time. You know, like I've got boxes full of comics myself, and I've got variant covers, and you know, when they re-released the X-Men back in the 90s, I still have all five of number one in a box somewhere. Yeah.
You know what? I actually blame you, Mike, for my addiction to the variant covers, because you were the one that got me my first Moonstone variant cover when you sent me sent me some back probably 15 odd years ago. I wasn't doing it. And then you sent me it, and then it's like, well, I've got some. I'm going to have to buy the rest now. So I actually blame you for that one, Mike.
Oh, man.
I've still got that. You always signed, when you sign your Phantom comics, you always go, I think you use the word or the word walk. So you go Mike Bullock and yep. then you go walk. So, which obviously, you yeah. know, goes to walks, Mr. Walker. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's something I don't remember why I started doing that, but every book that I do that I sign, I write something in there that applies to the story. So I think I start with like my Lions, Tigers, and Bears. I started writing Be Brave. I think I yep. was doing a school program with a whole bunch of elementary age kids, and I started writing that on those. I think that's where that started, but I'm not positive. So and then I went to sign a Phantom and I started to write Be Brave, and I'm like, well, that doesn't make any sense.
So Be Brave turned into Walk.
Yes.
Awesome. So that's what we know. So what Chronicle Chamber knows. Now we are together, us, Chronicle Chamber, and you, the listeners, we're going to find out a lot more type of stuff. But one of the other things that yous have done is the cover competition. And so I guess we just kind of wanted to briefly touch upon that, and then we can go into some questions. So the entries has closed. It closed back at the end of November 2023. Were you happy with some of the response?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Mm. Definitely some really good work came through. So, and you know, if somebody else feels like they didn't meet the deadline or didn't quite make the cut and they had something in progress, if you send it and it's good, we might turn a blind eye on when the deadline was. So.
Awesome. Awesome. So did you find anyone that you might go, oh, yes, we're definitely going to have to talk to them for some, you know, covers or even sequentials or anything like that?
I'll leave that to Joe to answer, because Joe's the one that makes the decisions and calls the shots and all that. But there was definitely some good stuff.
No, that's good. We have to, I mean, whenever we do these interviews, we always have to get a no comment. So I'm glad we've got that out of the way pretty early, because we got to try and push that line as far as possible. See what we can get.
I don't suppose you could tell us. Do you know when it'll be announced, Mike? In terms of we'll start to see some of those images getting published.
No comment.
There's our second one.
Very good.
Awesome. All right, so we'll move on from there. But look, when yous are ready, we all look forward to seeing that as well, and seeing some of the entries as well, because I'm sure yous would have gotten some great potential there.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. And I guess it's good to kind of, and because I saw some of the social media comments, and they're like, oh, Moonstone's back. And it's just a way of kind of getting the word out there again. Now, we've got some general questions, so I hope you don't mind us asking, and we're probably going to get a few more no comments, but we have to ask and try and push the envelope as far as possible. Now, listeners, we probably will miss your question. I'm sure you've got a question that you'll be like, why have they asked or why have they not asked? If we have missed your question, write it in the comments on social media. When this podcast comes out, it will be on social media or on YouTube. There's a comment section on YouTube, or drop us an email at chroniclechamber@gmail.com, and we can get that asked, or we can save it for the next time. All right, so you've told us a little bit about the time and place, which is going to be modern. Is there anything else you can kind of tell us about the plot?
No, not really. There will be some returning older characters. There will be some new characters. There will be some surprise characters. And just the same as the stories I wrote in the past, it's things taken from modern headlines with a little, you know, Mandrake bringing him into the story kind of brings a little bit more of a fantastical element than you would get in a standard Phantom story. So expect some of that sort of thing too.
You haven't written Mandrake before, have you, Mike?
One of the annuals I wrote, and I wrote a short story that I don't even remember where it was published, but I've done a couple Mandrake stories so far. So,
Okay.
yeah.
Was it challenging getting into his world?
I think based on what, my experience with the Phantom, anything is going to be challenging because I became best friends with Ed Rhodes, and Ed was a walking Phantom encyclopedia, and he was friends with Lee Falk before he passed, and he connected me with Cy Barry, and it was really, really easy for me to deep dive into the Phantom to find all the things I didn't already know. And Ed was really good at pointing out, oh, in the February 3rd daily in 1964, the Phantom did that. So, you got to remember that when you're doing this over here. And I've never heard of anybody that has that level of knowledge when it comes to Mandrake. So, and if that person's out there, I've never met them or heard of them, and I hope they reach out, and I hope they're half as cool as Ed because that guy was amazing. Big loss when he passed.
I did
So
want to
yeah,
ask,
so
do you still reach or do you still draw on those lessons that he taught you then, or the information that
oh yeah.
he gave you then?
Absolutely. And I think a lot of it is just like it kind of became tribe knowledge between Ed and I because we talked. We probably spent 2, 3 hours a week on the phone, emailed back and forth all the time. He read every plot and every script before anybody else. He started out as just kind of an advisor, a story advisor, and we ended up, like I said, becoming pretty much best friends. So, it won't come as a surprise to anybody, but the first Phantom story is dedicated to Ed's memory.
Yeah,
So,
cool. That's beautiful. That's
yeah.
great.
But if there's anybody like that, in regards to Mandrake, with that level of Mandrake knowledge and passion, and I would love to meet that person, but since I don't know that person, it's a lot of internet deep diving and Google foo and trying to figure out, and there's a lot of contradictory information out there, and then there's also what King Features considers canon versus what some other people consider canon, and so it's a little bit harder to navigate, so to speak. And some of the things that seem to make sense to me don't necessarily make sense with the canon, and so yeah, it's a little bit more challenging writing the Mandrake stuff. And the other side of it is just, I mean, I wrote Phantom stories for so long, it just became second nature. So now it's like I don't think anybody's ever going to be at Ed's level of expertise and knowledge with the Phantom, but I think I knew an awful lot versus Mandrake. I know, 25, 30% as much. So.
Fair enough.
In our last podcast, you dropped the news that you had maybe 50 stories either written, plotted, like various degrees of progress. Have you reached upon that, or like how far ahead are you kind of like planned and penned and in the future of where this is going to go?
Well, so the Mandrake story actually is a story I pitched back in 2008 to King Features.
Oh, wow.
And I don't remember what happened at the time, but it never panned out. Excuse me. So I kind of retooled it a little bit and updated it a little bit and worked it into the existing Phantom story, the Last Night story. So it's essentially an older story that I've kind of dusted off and given new life to. With that, like you said, yeah, I do still have a lot of other stuff, and I actually found something, I don't know, I think it was Tuesday morning, that I'd completely forgotten about, that has like six or seven springboards on it that I will probably also dive into. A couple of them I got really excited when I saw them because I'd forgotten all about them, and I thought they would go really well with the direction we're going in right now. So
Oh, that's really cool. It's
yeah.
very helpful when, I find it really helpful when past Dan does something and I've forgotten all about it, and suddenly future Dan is going to benefit from that. So,
Yeah. It's like you put on your winter coat for the first time all year long and you find a $20 bill in the pocket,
exactly.
so.
Well, I would argue that this is even more important than that $20 note, but but that's just because we're a fan of Nuffy. So no, that's very exciting. I guess you've got a huge backlog of stories, springboards, plots, story ideas to basically move ahead with. So this isn't, from what it sounds like, this isn't a 2-3 year venture from Moonstone. This is, you're here to stay again.
I certainly hope so, and so does Joe. So, it really stunk finding out that we were going to stop back when we did, and I hope that never happens again. So,
I remember in the podcast you told us you were out for dinner, I think it was, when Joe rang you, and I think from memory, it felt like, I can't remember the words you used, but you said it like felt like a real attack, like you felt really down afterwards, and when you got the news that you had lost the license.
yeah, I felt like I lost family. So because I was so immersed in it, that what do you mean I'm not gonna get to write, and I had plans and I had, some stories fairly well done, and I think I even had a script that I was, that I was able to finish and get put out. I think it was, I don't know, Ghost Who Walks 10 or 11, 12, one of those.
Yes.
Or maybe one of the generation stories, but it just
Actually,
w
Generations,
complete shock.
you raise a good point. Well, I say we, but I'm not involved. You, Moonstone, stopped at Phantom 14 or 15 in the Generation series. And for those who have come in late, Generation series was kind of like a prose where you had a page of text and then an image, and use was the original concept was that yous would start at one, and then that yous would go all the way to 20, I think it was. But yous, because of the license stuff up, yous started or yous ended at 14 or 15. Is there any room to continue that series?
If I remember correctly, all those stories were finished. I think the final stories got released in a trade paperback.
Yeah, it
That
finished at
didn't go
about.
very far. Like it didn't have a big printing because we kind of had to stop. And I think it was one of those things we tried to, we had a hard date of, on this date you can't put out anything new, and I think we tried to rush it out just to get it out there to be done. And I think we ended up dumping them all into one trade paperback instead of releasing them the way we had been. I have to go back and look because it's been a minute, but I feel like that's what we did. Like there's a giant Generations trade paperback out there.
So I had 18 stories in it.
I edited all those stories, so I know we did them all, I'm pretty sure. But again, yeah, it was, 15 years ago, so.
It was, and you're correct about the size. It's a huge 376
Yeah.
pages thick. Another question, while we're kind of talking about that, you made mention about releasing the back issue or the stock and selling it on the website again. Is there any room of, like, say, for instance, if it's out of stock or anything, reprinting it, or is it literally you're only going to be releasing what stock you've got?
That is again a question for Joe. I don't know the intricacies of the licensing deal he has with King Features. I know we've talked about doing some stuff in hardcovers, some of the older material. So I don't know if that's going to happen or not. I know there was a conversation not sometime within the last year about taking my entire run and putting it out in two or three hardcovers. And then we also talked about doing everything Moonstone had ever done in one series, like a bookshelf set.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and yeah, that was a fun conversation. But I don't know, I don't know the feasibility. I don't know whether, King Features approved it or any of that sort of thing. So that's another variance that I have to get used to is, we were working with Karen Moy at King Features in the past, and Karen's just absolutely amazing lady, and she had a great sense of story. But she also had gotten to the point where she just knew that Joe and I knew what we were doing, And as long as we didn't try and do anything crazy, she just kind of let us go. And it was just a great working relationship. And now she's not there anymore, so there's new people who don't know us from Adam, and they're we're building a new relationship and building new inroads and gaining trust with each other and all those sorts of things. So hopefully we get back to that point. So
Yeah, basically, you've got to prove your chops again and let them know that you do know what you're doing.
exactly. So
Yeah.
yeah.
I would argue that yous, because you did some crazy things. Yous did the, it's like yous came up with just all these ideas, as a Phantom fan, majority of us had never seen. Like, you brought out the wide vision, where they're almost done like photos. So someone had almost like taken photos of, it was in the wide vision, and I can't remember the story for that one.
That was my brain keeps wanting to say Elizabeth Massey wrote that, but I could be wrong. But I know what you're talking about. Yeah, that was a good story.
You did kind of push the envelope really good, and it was really good, kind of like seeing where yous were going. It was the Law of the Jungle. That was done by Joe Gentile and Paul Gowan.
Oh, okay. Joe wrote that. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Um,
Most people don't know this, but Joe is an amazing storyteller, but he's so bogged down with running Moonstone that he doesn't actually get to write stories very often. You ever get a
yeah.
chance to dig up his old Mysterious Traveler book? It's just awesome.
Yeah,
Cool.
cool. Another one of the, like, obviously you've explored Julie Walker as well. You did The Legacy, which was something with, I think this was before your time,
Yeah,
or
that was a Ben Rabb story.
with Pat Quinn doing the artwork of that. I've recently just purchased some of that original artwork from that series, so I'm a little bit I really enjoyed that, where it looked like the book was, so the writing was done in calligraphy style, and it actually looked like the diary of the first Phantom with little doodles and stuff like that. It was so yeah, he's did push the boundaries quite a lot. It was very exciting to see.
Yeah, and then I borrowed some of that for the history of the character him came from that from Legacy.
Yes. Talking
I think.
about him, that's a perfect segue for our next question. Is he going to come back, or is Manuel Ortega going to come back, or any of these other bad guys that was explored in the first series?
Well, there is a new bad guy that the current stories are going to end up on a collision course with. And some of the protagonists that we introduced in the past will be coming back. I don't want to let any cats out of the bag as far as previous Rogues Gallery types, but Old Man Moz's grandson Chain figures very prominently in the current stories. And so there will be some of those things. There will also be some surprise characters that you wouldn't expect to pop up. So,
Without giving away too many details, I've got a lot of Moonstone comics to buy from this website. Are there any in particular that I should buy to give myself a good insight into where you might be going in the future?
lot of the Ghost Who Walks series, those 12 issues, I had actually had that one plotted out to issue 48 at one point.
Yeah, right.
So a lot of the things that happen in those first 12 issues are foreshadowing for things that were going to come in issue 20 or issue 30 or whatever.
Yeah, okay.
And that's where Chain makes his debut, is in that story. And you see some more of the modernization of the Phantom. I had a really, really fun conversation that started with me and Ed Rhodes and ended with me and Cy Barry. And Cy and Ed were both adamant that Lee Falk would have taken advantage of modern technology for the Phantom to leverage that for his current crime fighting. So what we did was we found an actual I can't remember what it's called, but there's a berry that you can find in one of the African rainforests that when you crush it and use the juice and the pulp on a fabric, it makes the fabric really hard. So we took that and we kind of overly dramatized it to make the Phantom's uniform from it. And that made the Phantom's uniform almost like Kevlar. So that added to the fact that people could shoot him and he would get right back up again. And, you know, imagine being a bad guy and you shoot the Phantom and he stands right back up again and smiles and punches you in the face. You know, you're like, that's the Phantom all day long to psych the daylights out of a bad guy. So we introduced that. Chain is a hacker, absolute 100% computer whiz kid. Him and Old Man Maz kind of bounce back and forth with this debate where Old Man Maz is very anti-technology and wants to stick to the old ways of chronicling everything and all that. And Chain thinks that's dumb when you can just put it all on a cloud server. And so Chain has updated the radio room and he's got the Phantom using a smartphone and all those kinds of things.
So, Okay. Oh, that makes sense. There was a reference to Chain and Chain teaching the Phantom how to use a phone in the Captain Action crossover, I think, that I read this morning. How has that been then? If you you released the 12 stories, you had plots up to 48 or whatever and planned that out, and you know, you're talking about connections from episode from issue 20 back to something that was in the, and now there's that 15-year gap. Is it as easy as just picking up where you left off, or have you really got to rethink how to tie back in, or do you feel like you've got to start fresh in case people haven't read any of those other things? Or
yes,
right, all of that.
Yeah, it's predominantly, I think a lot of the little details are probably going to fall to the wayside and just be casualties of time. But some of the bigger things I was doing, you know, Chain is clearly a bigger thing. The updated costume, those kinds of things I will be continuing with. So,
yep. Cool. But it will be a situation where people will be able to pick up these for the first time, not having it read any of the other Moonstone stuff, and they'll be able to slip in okay. But I guess as with anything, you get advantage if you have read them.
Mm-hmm. So really all we've been doing, you know, in the US at least, is telling people to pick up the old Zero issue, because the Zero issue has the retelling of the Phantom's origin in the beginning. And then the second half has kind of encyclopedia pages for some of the newer characters and Phantom and Diana and Hero and Devil and that sort of thing. So,
okay, cool.
I do remember that Zero issue. That was it was very well done. So will you be looking at reissuing that, or have you just got enough of the copies that you can kind of resell them?
So I've asked Joe if we could reprint that and get it back out there. I do believe he has a small amount of them left. Mm. And I went and looked on eBay and saw a handful of them on there. So they're still out there. We're still trying to figure out how to do that, how to get those out there. I don't know what his stock levels are. He might have 5 left. He might have 50. I don't really know. You know, it's crossed my mind of, you know, do we just release it digitally so people have it as a primer? Do we reprint it in the back of the first comic that has the Phantom story in it so that people have it? I don't know. So to get new fans, you need to be able to tell them the origin, you know, like so many people in America just think the Phantom is some weird movie that happened in the 90s.
Yeah, right.
They don't realize the legacy of the character. I actually had a conversation with a couple of folks in Hollywood a month ago, and to them the Phantom was just this guy in this failed movie. And I explained to him, you know, the legacy, and he's been around since 1936, and Lee Falk had him, you know, fighting Prohibition and fighting in the Cuban Missile Crisis and Desert Storm and all these things. And it really opened their eyes, and they were like, wow, that's really, really neat. It's too bad that most people don't know that. So that was a battle before, was, you know, Phantom is just not as popular in America because he's not a big licensed property like Spider-Man or Superman or anything in the MCU these days. So getting people to understand the backstory of the character and kind of put aside the vague memories of the Billy Zane movie will go a long way to kind of reinvigorating the Phantom in the US, I think.
One of the other things that's going on at the moment, and you may or may not even be aware, Mike, I don't know, but the video game that's in production, being slated for the, I think, release December next year. We certainly hope that that'll, you know, play its part in reinvigorating and encouraging, you know, telling people the story of the Phantom all over the world. Is there any thought of tying some of what you're doing together with the Phantom game? Like, is there any sort of, we haven't asked the Phantom game guys this either, but, you know, whether there's some sort of cross promotion or tying the storylines together at all, or any thoughts there?
I would love to be involved in something like that. I've not talked to them. I know a handful of people in the gaming industry, but I don't know those guys.
Yeah.
I saw the trailer they dropped the other day. It was really cool.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm very excited to play the game. It looks like a lot of fun. So, and I hope it does really, really well, because, you know, it's going to help the Phantom, you know, and I've got a teenage son, and him and all his friends, if it's not a video game, it doesn't really exist in their minds. So, Phantom video game can do nothing but help. And it looks like they're doing a great job on it. I haven't actually played it or anything, obviously, but from the trailers and still shots and things I've seen, it looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah, so. Sure. Mm. And likewise, I guess that there's a hint on the King Features website about a new Phantom TV show or episodic something coming up as well. Have you got any intel on a tie-in with that? Or
I don't know anything about that at all. So I know at any point in time, there seems to always be something in development in Hollywood. But, you know, Hollywood's always got 5,000 things in development for every one thing that actually makes it out. So. Yeah, hopefully that does too, and hopefully it does really well. It blows my mind the sheer volume of fantastic stories that Lee Falk wrote, that somebody couldn't find a way to take some of them and make a great movie or a great TV. I mean, Netflix could come along and do a serialized Phantom thing for seasons and seasons and seasons by doing nothing but farming Lee Falk's old stories.
Totally agree. Preaching to the choir here.
Yeah. Hopefully all of us
for a while. Yeah,
because the rising tide lifts all boats, doesn't it? So the more out there, the better off everybody does.
I said this before, like the last time we did a podcast years ago, when I got done reading all the old Phantom stories that I had on CD for a while, it was crazy the amount of stories I recognized and then realized that it was because I read it in a Green Lantern or a Spider-Man comic that didn't come out for 20 years later.
Mm.
Or, you know, Lee Falk wrote this plot in 1946, but here it is in a Marvel comic in 1972. Yeah, that just shows you what a huge impact Lee Falk had on the speculative fiction world. So many people, you know, he was up there with Edgar Rice Burroughs, if you ask me, as somebody that just had this tremendous impact and really hardly anybody knows who he is these days, but if it wasn't for Lee Falk, you wouldn't have so much entertainment that's out there now, because so much of it is derivative of his work.
As much as you can tell us, how did you get the license back? Like, what was the storyline with that? Was it something that Joe had always been talking to King Features about? Was this a 5-year process? Was, you know, or did you just get the phone picked up and they say, hey, you want the license? Or, you know, what was the story behind he's getting it back?
I don't know much of the details. That would be, again, another question for Joe. I do know that we've kind of kept track of the existing licenses and when they are up for renewal and things like that. And I know there's been quite a few times where when one of them was coming up for renewal, Joe would reach out to King. So anything beyond that, details wise, is how this came together, I don't know. And I wouldn't want to speak out of turn and say the wrong thing or mislead anybody. But I know Joe reached out to me and said, hey, it looks like we're going to be doing Phantom stories again. And I thought he was trying to punk me or something. And I'm like, what? He's like, no, I'm serious. And I was like, okay. So
I guess at that point, you don't ask too many questions. You just go, yes, sir. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. I think at that point, I just like, you know, he didn't even need to tell me to get ready and run. I was gone. It's like, okay, we could do this and we could do this and we could put this out. And I got this idea. And he's like, dude, settle.
Good.
That's awesome. Awesome. I think you stopped in, what was it, 2010? So by the time it comes out in 24, it will be 14 years between drinks. That's a long time. And That must be a long time to have that fire, that passion, and then seeing what everyone else was producing, and then going, I don't know about you, but I was saying, man, Moonstone could do better than this, and I'm sure yous would have been saying, man, I could do better than this.
I wasn't saying that. To be honest, I didn't read a whole lot of it. Maybe this sounds immature, but I was just kind of like, if I can't play with that toy, I don't want to see somebody else play with it.
I get that.
I did read a couple things, and I have some of the reprint books and some of those kinds of things that came out. And I had a lot of people come back to me and say basically what you just said, Germ, which was it was nice to hear, but it didn't really get me back in the door of writing Phantom again. So, I just kind of figured when it happens, and I just kept doing what I was doing in other areas. And
Now, I've got a question. Now, I'm asking you to go back 15 years, so I know your memory may not be there. In
I don't remember
the
what I ate for breakfast yesterday, so
K
you're really stretching.
in the KGB Noir trade paperback, there was in the back section, there was, there's some editorial. There was a scene drawn by Fernando of him grabbing a rope ladder from a helicopter, and it was looking from
Oh,
the
yeah.
perspective of the helicopter. And you made mention about wanting to write a story to use this scene. Have you done that yet?
Nope,
Are you,
but I want to, and I want Fernando to come back and draw it. So,
because it was just a
Fernando and I have
rough,
worked, yeah,
and it
Fernando and
was
I have
amazing.
worked on a bunch of stuff together since then. I got hired by a ghostwriting agency, so I've written a lot of graphic novels that have other people's names on them, and gotten Fernando to do the art on quite a few of them. I mean, he was a good artist back then. He's a great artist now. He has just grown and grown and grown, and his stuff is just beautiful. So he was the first person I thought of when Joe told me that we had the license back. And then obviously he thought about Silvestri next, because he and I did so many stories together. But Fernando and I had been working together like almost this whole time. Like I think the last thing we worked on together just wrapped up in 21 or 22. Any chance to work with Fernando again in the future, I'm all over. And I know he wants to do some more Phantom stuff if he gets the opportunity. So
Cool. So,
that piece of art would be a great way to launch that back in.
well, it could work as a cover as well. It was
Oh yeah.
the perspective and like the way he's drawn, like the buildings, like zooming in and stuff like that. It was it was very good. You've just made mention of a couple of artists. You've made mention of Sylvester, Fernando. Are there any other creators that you could either that we've known from the Moonstone days that we might see again, like Alex Suviec, Ruben Propichello, Doug Kuluba, Fernando, Sylvester? Just nod, yes, no.
I'm almost positive Doug will be involved, which is a win for everybody because I mean Doug is just next level awesome. I know we've talked to a few other folks. I don't know where those talks are going. And there's some other people that have not done Phantom work in the past that are also really talented people that we've queried and kind of put feelers out. So, and I think a lot of it depends on how well these first three stories do as to what we can do in the future. So,
Have you got an overarching name for this series? Like last night, Seven Kings Calling, the Seven Kings. To me, that's the Seven Kings sequence. Have you got an overarching name for the trilogy, if you like?
it's pretty much I'm calling it at least the Seven Kings. So,
Yeah, okay.
and
So,
that'll make sense when we get there, but
yeah, for sure. Talking post Seven Kings, and I'm really looking forward to, I don't want to rush too far into the future, but having read over a couple of like the Captain Action crossover, I read in the last 24 hours. Have you got thoughts about bringing any of the other Moonstone characters into to crossover stories with the Phantom?
yes, but I don't want to tell you too much about that at the moment. So
Okay, no, that's fair enough.
yeah,
Again, what I
there's some surprises coming. So, and I really hope, I mean, for me, the hope and dream is to get back to doing a normal monthly 22 page comic book with the Phantom. So, and with that opens up the possibilities for a lot more things.
So, if this trilogy is successful, is that where the next option is that, you know, if this is successful, sells comics, Joe's happy with what's coming in, what's going out, then he's going to tap you on the shoulder and say, okay, Mike, I now want a monthly comic.
I hope so. Yeah, I don't know enough to make predictions about the future, but that's the hope and the dream.
My understanding of the licensing arrangements is that it's usually over a period of time rather than a number of issues or whatever. So presumably it's like a 5-year license. Have you got that amount of time to play with it? Is that...
I don't know the details on that part of it. I know a lot of the what's traditional is changing these days. You're seeing a lot of business entities doing things differently, trying to find new ways to maximize profits on their properties, finding different ways to leverage certain things in different avenues and different directions. I think it's kind of interesting and kind of neat is you've just kind of got this new generation rising up in the entertainment world, not real interested in I'm doing it this way because this is the way it's always been done. Mm-hmm. So, and I think that's great. And that brings innovation. And from innovation, you get a lot of really cool stuff. You know, I don't know that you could say that, you know, the standard license anymore is a set time period or a set amount of books or a set anything. I almost don't think that there's a necessarily a boilerplate for that anymore. Become a 21st century Wild West to some degree. Young faces with new ideas and different marketing styles. The internet's changed so many things. Just what the internet's done just since Moonstone very first got the Phantom license till today. It's a whole entirely different world.
One of the things that I really enjoyed about Moonstone was the fan engagement. Again, this was back in the message board days, but especially you, Mike, but even before and all that, they were very good at responding to fans' questions and communication. You always answered emails, and I think that helped you get that niche with the Phantom fans, is because it's like, well, hang on, these guys actually answer our questions, or, you know, they let us know about stuff. So I think that helped. But with that, and then the cutting edge, like I said, with the Wide Vision, with the graphic novels that used to bring out, the variant covers and all these type of things that were cutting edge back then, really helped create that love affair with a lot of fans.
Why would you not want to talk to people that love the same things you love? I mean, it's like a no-brainer. Like, I could sit around and talk about Phantom stuff. I don't care if I'm talking to Joe and Doug Klauba and Fernando, or I'm talking to you, or I'm talking to somebody who just discovered the book last week. It's fun to talk about the Phantom, you know? So
it is. Well, we know that we've almost got 300 episodes.
You guys have done a lot of talking about the Phantom.
Yeah. One of the last questions that I've got is, you made mention before in your, and I'm not sure whether it was just a throwaway line or not, but you made mention that the Phantom is going to be doing a lot of traveling in this series. Is he coming to Australia?
Maybe. Currently, that's not the plan, but, you know, I don't have the crossover part fully ironed out, so maybe. Strangely enough, the story at no point in time will be in Africa, anywhere on the continent. So,
for yourself, how's it been coming back to the, you know, we've sort of talked around it, but have that 12, 14, 15 years away from the character. You talked about putting on a jacket and finding a $20 bill there before. Has it been like putting on that old warm, cozy jacket and going, oh, I'm back into the world? Like, how's that experience been when you sat down and go, oh, wow, I can actually, you know, get value out of sitting here writing a Phantom story again? It must have been a really cool experience for you.
It is, and it's been a lot of fun. And the kind of funny thing is, I didn't realize how much I had forgotten sitting down and going, oh yeah, there's this, and that, you know, and kind of reimmersing myself into it. It's almost kind of like, you know, to borrow from the code analogy and take that further, it's like, you know, to go back to your childhood home and step back into it for the first time in 15 years and walk around and be like, oh, I remember when we put that ding in the wall, or, oh, I remember when the plate fell and chipped the counter right there, or whatever.
Yeah.
All those little things, the little nuances that you don't think about, and the little details that you don't really think about. So,
yeah.
And, you know, I dug out all the old comics that I wrote, and I've got them sitting on my desk, and I pick them up and flip through them periodically because frankly, I don't remember all the stories, so it's kind of fun. Oh yeah, I remember when I wrote that, and and then that brings back floods of memories of, Ed and I discussed this, or this was written because of that, or the inspiration for this story came from here, all that kind of stuff. So it's been a lot of fun. I feel very blessed to get the chance to do it. Not too many people get to do something they absolutely love the first time. Getting to do it twice is just awesome.
I guess the counter question to that is do you feel there's a bit of pressure on you to produce something that's going to keep the license with Moonstone, that's going to promote the brand in America and beyond? Is there, like, there's that sense of fun and comfort and all the rest of it, but is there also a sense of pressure for you?
Not really. I just look at it as I want to write stories that I would like to read, and I'm going to have fun doing it. It's like I'm playing with the old toys again, and at the end of the day, if I like it and nobody else does, then I'm still happy. I hope other people do, but the Kardashians are proof that you never know what somebody's going to decide is cool when everybody else doesn't agree. So, we can just hope that, whether it's something I write or the video game or somebody does something in Hollywood or Frood puts out a story or Egmont or somebody puts out something and it lights a fire and all of a sudden the Phantom is, as popular worldwide as Mickey Mouse. We forgot to show this.
So for those on the audio, it is the Phantom walking down a beaten up street in his Mr. Walker outfit, and it is like a worm view looking up at the Phantom, and there's chaos, and that is amazing. And it's going to be a big one page like that.
Yeah, that's a splash page.
Yeah, wow.
So
So that's the type of artwork that Sergio is bringing to us.
that is one of the pages from the last night story drawn by Sergio.
If there is any American out there that would like to review the Moonstone comics for our platform, get in touch with us, because that's something that we probably will need to start doing, because there will probably be a bit of a delay in us getting it over in Australia. So, if there is anyone out there that would like to do it, like what, Mikel does with Egmont and Suarez does with the Indian comics, and Christian with the Germany comics and stuff like that as well, get in touch with us. Otherwise, our website is chroniclechamber.com. Our email is chroniclechamber@gmail.com. I hope you fans enjoyed that. We would love to hear your thoughts. Again, if there's any questions that we have not asked, or if you want to give feedback or opinions, you can do that on our social media platforms or over at the YouTube channel, or you can email us.
Back to your question about the one last thing to tease you about, beware of Ronan Singh.
Well, I hope you have enjoyed that, fans. Mike, it has been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. I've enjoyed it. Enjoyed putting on my warm coat in the middle of summer again. Thank you, and look forward to discussing more and reviewing your comics for myself.
Yep.
Thank you, and happy fans week.
Thank you
very much.
both.